It's a privilege to see all of you, and it really has been a long time. I haven't purposely ignored Allen County. It just, you know how life goes. We were in Tanzania for the last number of years, off and on, and traveling through Allen County, yeah, I want to stop and see them, but to land here on a weekend, it just didn't happen. So it's a blessing for us to be here this morning, and I'm very grateful to see what the Lord's doing here. It feels like, yeah, there have been a lot of changes. You know, this something about this building feels so big and feels so a little more scary or something than the last time I was here. But when I say scary, I just think for myself, you know, it's like, yeah, Lord, keep us earnest, keep us with our hearts, you know, fixed on you. And I trust God is doing that in your hearts. And I praise the Lord for what God is doing, and for the work of the Lord all across the country. But things change a lot when we're overseas, you know, and then we come back and we grapple with these changes. And okay, how do we fit in, and where do we find our place, and what does God want us to do? And so you can pray for us too. We are on a journey, and right now we're living down there close to my parents in Georgia, and we want to trust the Lord to guide us and teach us and direct our paths. This morning I'd like to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at the first several verses in that chapter. And I gave it a bit of a title, what I'd like to talk about this morning. Maybe before I go into the title, you know, talking about the changes and thinking about what all has happened and all that God has led us through, and you know, it was mentioned here, the accident and all those things, and those things are what are kind of my main experience at the Allen County Church, is being here over that time with everything that the Fishers and Lonekers went through. And then, you know, over the years, I hear about the growing pains and things that you're going through here. But God is leading on. And, you know, what just kind of shocked me, kind of jolted me again, thinking about it this morning, yesterday, is here we're the 1st of December of 2019. 30 more days, and we're in 2020. You know, it wasn't all that long ago, seems like to me, that, you know, Y2K was a big thing. 2000 is coming around, and we actually made it to the year 2000, and now 20 years later, 2020 is almost here. I remember there was a lot of talk about what all God's going to do and how we want to serve the Lord and reach certain goals by 2020. You know, and it's just makes you think to realize 2020 is almost here. God help us to be in tune with what He's doing and committed to being used in His hand and pressing forward and not losing focus when time is filled with swift transition. Things keep changing and time keeps moving on, but soon time's going to be over. So I'd like to talk this morning about divine addition rules. In 2 Peter chapter 1 here, we'll just start in here in the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So Peter's writing to the church here, and he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith, the same precious faith that we have. And how he says, how have we obtained this faith? It's through the righteousness of God. It's through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through His righteousness, we obtain this gift of faith. This faith that we cast our confidence and put our trust in our God and Savior. It's through His righteousness that we have gained access to this precious faith. The same faith that Peter and the other apostles had who walked with Jesus Himself. We have gotten access to that through God's righteousness and through our Savior Jesus Christ. And then He says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, addition is one thing, but multiplication is a whole other thing. And I'd like to ask you children, maybe from 14 on down, if somebody would offer you today, would offer you a choice. Either they'll hand you $1 million, or they'll give you a penny today, 2 pennies tomorrow, 4 pennies the next day, 8 pennies the next day, 16 pennies the next day, and every day it keeps getting doubled, and they'll do that for a month, 30 days. Which would you choose? Would you rather be given $1 million today or be given that penny, 2, 4, 8, 16 for the next 30 days? What do you think? Anybody have a thought? Which one would you choose? A penny each day? All right. Somebody else? Do we all agree we like the penny each day? That seems pretty little, doesn't it? Just a penny the first day, 2 pennies the next. I mean, how are you ever going to get anywhere? Well, that's what's called multiplication, because the first day it's one, second day it's times two. Next time it's 2 times 2. Next time it's 2 times 4. And it keeps doubling and growing. So let's just see what it looks like here in the first few days. So we have the first day, we have one penny. Next day we have 2 times 1 equals, so we have 1 the first day, 2 times 1 equals 2, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 4 equals 8, 2 times 8 equals 16. So in the first 5 days, we add this up and we have 3 plus 4 is 7 and 8 is 15 and 16 is 31. So this boy said he wants the penny option. Well, after 5 days, all you have is 31 pennies. That's only 31 cents. You're hardly getting anywhere. 5 days. That's not much for 5 days. I mean, you know, you could do somebody, you know, just a... I mean, 31 cents, you can't even buy a piece of candy with that. Most places, maybe a 25, you know, maybe a little lollipop or something. Okay, but let's keep going. So grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So knowing God is how this grace and peace is multiplied to us. Should I move my mic somehow? Okay. So through knowing God is how this grace and peace is multiplied to us. It's not through what we've done. It's not through just a massive, sudden God plops, you know, $1 million on us. But it's a process of being multiplied to us through the knowledge of God as we learn to know God and Jesus our Lord. That's how this grace and peace is multiplied on our lives. And that grace is the power to overcome, the power to live above sin, the power to see things the way God sees them, to value what, to love what He loves, to hate what He hates, and to be like Him. Let's keep going. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So that pertains, that's kind of an old English word to mean that have to do with. So just like his divine power has given us everything that has to do with life and godliness. Brothers and sisters, if that is where everything comes from that has to do with life and godliness, what more can we need? It's the knowledge of God, knowing God and Jesus our Lord, this grace and peace is multiplied, and his divine, just like his divine power, has given us everything that pertains, and how? Through the knowledge, again, of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And here in this last part, this to glory and virtue, I think it would be better translated to his or through his or by his glory and virtue. He has called us by his or to his glory and virtue. The Greek prepositions are a little bit ambiguous, whether it's to, by, through, but it doesn't really matter. The whole idea is through his glory and virtue, or by his glory and virtue, he's calling us to that, through that, by that. And, you know, I get the picture. He's calling us to come and see his glory and his virtue, his excellence, how holy he is, how beautiful he is, how, you know, virtue is goodness, rightness. I'd like to look a little bit over in 2 Corinthians at the picture that Paul paints there of this idea of looking at God's glory, Jesus' glory and virtue. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to read a few verses there, starting in verse 15. So he's contrasting here to the law and how 2 Corinthians 3:15, how when Moses came down off the mountain, he had to have a veil over his face because his face was so bright from being in God's presence, they couldn't look straight at him. So he had to have his face covered. But he says, when it turns to the Lord, when it comes to Jesus, there's no veil needs to be there. We can look straight into the face of Jesus Christ. The veil will be taken away. And he says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now here's this word liberty, freedom. Hey, we got freedom. Well, what is this freedom? This freedom is to gaze into the face of Jesus Christ, looking into the face of the Lord. Look at the next verse, 18. But we all with open face, our face isn't covered, Jesus' face isn't covered. We behold as in a glass or as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So our face is turned toward Jesus and we gaze into his glory. And we are changed into that same image from glory to glory to glory to glory. We're changed into what he looks like. And so whether the mirror is me mirroring his image, I'm not sure exactly what Paul meant by the mirror, but somewhere in there is that picture of a mirror that literally I become like a mirror of Jesus' glory as I gaze into his glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in the next chapter, he goes on in verse 4. I'd like to just look at a few of those verses yet. He says, or verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' face, we get access, we have access to the light of the knowledge, understanding, knowing, getting familiar with the glory of God. And I think that's the picture here that Peter's, you know, many times in Paul's letters and here in Peter's letter too, he starts out and he tries to talk about the glory of knowing God and the beauty of this new covenant and all that. And they just go on and on with all these big words, trying to explain it, trying to use words that somehow are fit to carry the beauty of what they're trying to express. And that's what I see Peter doing here. He says that through the knowledge of Him that has called us to called us, and I like to look at this as called us by His or to His glory and virtue. He's called us to that, and as we observe that, let's see what happens. Whereby, in verse 4, by this glory and virtue that He's called us to look at, it's like He has glory and virtue on display in His own character. He's calling us to it. By that are given to us exceeding great. This is the Greek word, something like megistos. So mega, but in the superlative, as big as it gets. Okay? So it's not only mega, but it's the megast. You know, the biggest mega there is. Exceeding great and precious promises. These are the kinds of promises He's given us. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We get to have a part of the nature of God, right? Isn't that what divine means? The nature of God. We get access to have a part of the nature of God as we learn to know Him and as we look on His glory and virtue. And then He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And you notice this corruption is the opposite of life. Corruption is decay. Corruption is, you know, decomposition, breaking down, decay. And that is in the world through lust or through evil desires or selfish desires, human desires. So God has given us a way to escape from that corruption as we take part of His divine nature, and as we look on His glory and virtue, He gave us these exceeding great and precious promises. So it's like, whoa, God has given us this package of amazing blessing, and He says it's multiplied. Like, what more could we want? It's a finished package. I mean, it's all there. But look at verse 5 then. He says, in King James it says, and beside this, I think a better translation of it would be, with all of this in mind, having considered all of this. So now with all of this in the back of our mind, this exceeding great plan that God has, these mega promises, and this multiplication that He wants to do. So here's what you need to do. Giving all diligence. This makes me think again of that volleyball game last night. I mean, some of those, you young people were so diligent there. I mean, there was so much energy and so much effort to be at the right place at the right time, giving all diligence. I think that's the picture here. Give it all you've got. Give it all diligence. And now He says, add. I thought we're talking about multiplication. I mean, this kind of feels like adding when we're going 1 + 2 + 4. You know, it's going really slow, you know. And we only reach 31 after 5 days. But He says, add. This is what you need to do. Or supplement. Fill in what's missing. Add to your faith. So first up here we saw that the faith, we have obtained like precious faith in verse 1, through the righteousness of God. It was God's righteous plan to put that seed of faith in our hearts. We didn't muster up faith somehow to start believing God. He gave us that seed of faith, and we said yes, and we began to believe. So now He says, add to your faith virtue. Here's this word virtue. Earlier we saw that God is calling us to His, or by His, glory and virtue, or excellence. Come. So earlier it's like, come study my excellence. Come study my glory. See who I am. And now as we see His glory, we're adding to our own faith. We see those characteristics that God wants in my life. That character of God. So we're adding virtue. Or another word for virtue, we could say moral excellence. You know, that high standard of, I don't want to go for anything less than, I want that excellence. I don't want to compromise and, you know, have some shady issues in my life that, well, you know, it wasn't all that bad. No, I want excellence. Add to your faith, moral excellence. Add to your moral excellence, knowledge. Well, earlier here we saw that's how he gives us these riches, is through knowing him. We have to apply ourselves to add to that knowledge. We got to dig. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to seek. It doesn't just come piling on. So add to that moral excellence. I want to know. I want to understand. I want to search. I want to search the scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. You better study them and understand what they're saying. And that's true for us too. We need to add that the knowledge of God's will. And then he says, add self-control. It says temperance, but I think another word for it would be self-control. We don't let desires dictate us. We control our desires. Sure, we have natural desires. We like lots of food. We like nice cars. We like good games, whatever. But we don't let those things rule us. We rule them. And they're under control, self-control. And now he says, add to that temperance patience, perseverance. You're not going to see the results right away. I mean, little boy who chose the pennies, you're only at 31 after 5 days. You better stick it out, because 5 days seems like a long time to a little boy sometimes, and you only have 31 cents. But stick it out. Perseverance. Temperance. Or patience. And to patience, add godliness. God-likeness. I want to be like God. Well, to learn how to be like God, we better study God, right? We can't become like him until we understand what he's like. And that won't come without applying ourselves to studying what he's like. Godlikeness. The next word, brotherly kindness, in the Greek, is the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia is simply philos, brotherly, or philos, love, adelphos is brothers. So just loving the brothers. Add that. Add to your walk of life that I'm going to love my brothers. Not everybody is just easy to love, right? We get along great with some people. It almost just happens, you know, and we're just... But not everybody is that way, and we need to practice it, that we love our brothers, and we respect them higher than we respect ourselves. We honor them above ourselves. We love our brothers. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, there's that agape love that I love even my enemies. I don't love them the same way that I love my brothers. I don't just think it's great to be with them, but I have that commitment to love them even when it costs. At any cost, I will love. I will love others. So he says, add. This is all a process of adding. And it's like, this is little stuff. This is not this great and grand, glorious stuff we were talking about earlier. Or is it? He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's this same process that as we apply ourselves to this adding this and adding this and adding this, this step by step by step commitment to adding the things God is showing us and teaching us and obeying when he tells us something, waiting for his next direction and obeying, this is the process that he will make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful. That barren means idle. You're not just going to be idle. It's the same word as what Jesus used there of the ones that were in his parable, the ones that were out in the marketplace in the middle of the day with nothing to do and the farmer needed help. So he hired the people that were idle about the marketplace. Nothing to do. Do you feel like you have nothing to live for? Get on this track. You won't be anymore. We will not be barren or idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this principle of adding and adding and adding is with understanding in the back of our minds that the way God works is as we learn to know Him, He gives us, and He how does it say it earlier? He multiplies to us that grace and that peace as we learn to know God. And so this addition becomes multiplication in the kingdom of God. And that's why I said divine addition rules. God calls us to add, but in the meantime, He's multiplying. And He's putting it on. He's pouring it on. And He has an end in mind. These glories that Peter and Paul write about, they're not just something for some holy apostle that we can't relate to. They were for holy apostles. And these men had a hold of something that I really believe most of us have a journey to reach where they were. But He's showing us here how to get there. It's these practical steps of obedience, of adding what God is calling us to. And He says, if these things, these characteristics, this faith, this virtue or moral excellence, this knowledge, this temperance or self-control, this patience or perseverance, this godliness or godlikeness, this brotherly kindness or brotherly love, and this charity, if these things be in you and abound, it becomes a habit, it becomes the way we live. If they are abounding in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. What's productive knowledge? This knowledge produces amazing blessings, as it shows us earlier, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things. Now, this is pretty serious. This is not just an option. I think that many times we find ways to live our Christian lives and be satisfied with less than what God has for us. But this convicts my heart, and I have to search my heart and ask God, what does this mean to me? If I'm lacking these things, this faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, and charity, He says here, if I'm lacking those things, I'm blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that I was purged from my old sins. What a state! I think we forget that we must stay alert. I mean, none of us wants to be in this state. That we're blind, we can't even see anymore, we can't see very far, we can't see what God wants to do, and we forgot that we were purged. If we forget, we're most likely wandering back into the same path we came from. So He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail, never fall. And look at verse 11. Praise the Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. I mean, we start out on a straight and narrow path. You know, Jesus said, straight is the gate. That means narrow, tight, hard to get through is the gate. And narrow is the way that leads to life. But here He says, we follow this path, we get to that, to the end. It's not going to be a straight gate anymore. It's not going to be a narrow gate anymore. He's going to minister to us an entrance abundantly. It's going to be an abundant welcome. A big door. Welcome. You don't have to squeeze anymore. It's no fight anymore when we reach the end. And the wonderful blessing of being being ministered an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I appreciate the little boy who's brave enough to give an opinion on which way he would choose. Let me show you what would happen. Okay? If you, every day, it keeps going two more. Okay, so the next day it would be 32. The next day it would be 64. The next day it would be 128. The next day it would be 356. And it keeps going that way. After 30 days, you would have, let me just write out the numbers. All right. That's how many pennies you would have after 30 days. Every day, you take it times two. You still have the ones from the days before. So if we say how many pennies, we would have 1,073,741,823 pennies. Well, make that, change that into dollars, and you would have 10,737,418.23. Now imagine if your buddy would have said, oh, a penny, no way, I'll take the million. You would be almost 11 times as many as that one who just wanted the million. And that is the way it works in the kingdom of God. I really believe it, that if we get a hold of this, and I say I really believe it, brothers, I recognize my need of earnestly seeking. You know, we were in Tanzania for a while. Busyness of life can distract us from that earnest seeking. And the longing in my heart is to not just talk about this, but live this. God has an abundance for us that I want to be a part of. And I am blessed with this, with what Peter was trying to communicate here. And I really think that he was grappling to know how to communicate this to people, to somehow show them, look, there's something here you can't see until you begin, and it will grow, and it's powerful. Get on board. My prayer is that I could not only talk about that, but believe that, and with my whole heart, get on board in adding to my faith. And realizing the abundance that God has for us in knowing Jesus Christ.